Nerding out and talking about movies. The final, it's like the middle frontier. We're not really doing anything final, but we're going to talk about Star Trek Beyond. A ton of news out of Comic-Con. There's so much, we can't even, let's just get started already.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Welcome back, nerds. It's time for Sci-Fi Weekly on the Popcorn Talk. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Tweet me throughout the week, throughout the show, at ThatZachWilson. You can make sure you follow the show as well. Go to Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube. Go to Popcorn Talk on Twitter. Go to Sci-Fi Weekly on Twitter as well. You can follow Facebook.com/Sci-Fi Weekly. All those places to find the show. So many things that we can tweet out, we can talk about, so make sure you're interacting with us throughout the week. Speaking of interacting, I got my co-host right here.
What up, nerds? How's it going? It's me, Jesse Klein. I'm super excited to talk about everything sci-fi that's been going on. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Jess Klein 1. That's J-E-S-S-K-L-E-I-N, the number one. I will literally talk to you about anything sci-fi related.
Yeah, and
I'll do it.
We're always paying attention to the Facebook and the Twitter and all that, so keep us... in your tweets.
Yeah.
But enough insulting you by calling everyone nerds.
But that's not an insult. That's a compliment.
Yeah. It depends on what decade you grew up in.
I guess. I grew up in the 90s, and to me it's still a compliment. It's always been a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer geek. Anyway, we're way off the topic. There's literally so much news. Star Trek Beyond came out last week, and we both have some thoughts on it.
Sure.
I have some very strong opinions on this movie.
I have some very lukewarm opinions on this movie.
But we're going to discuss that. But first, we got to talk about the news, because San Diego Comic-Con was last week.
Oh, my God.
And there's an absurd amount. We would have to go through it so quickly, but light speed is too slow.
It's too slow.
So we're going to have to jump right to ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
All right, so we got a set photo. One of the first set photos from Alien Covenant, and it appears to show that the actress Catherine Waterston, want to make sure I got that name right, Catherine Waterston might be playing Ripley's mother. This was a previous rumor that had been out, but if this shot of her is accurate, not just some kind of gag, she's wearing basically a Ripley costume.
Yeah.
And that's not an accident, unless it's like, it could be a Marine Corps uniform, but either way, she's clearly going to be very connected to Ripley, because that's not something that happens by accident.
And this is in the Alien timeline, not the Prometheus.
No,
one.
This is the Prometheus timeline.
God damn it.
This is the Prometheus
this
one.
This is Prometheus timeline.
Because so, it's a prequel. The timeline lines up for...
Yeah, sure.
Being Ripley's mom.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Kevin Smith's Buckaroo Banzai is confirmed headed for Amazon. I am super excited about this. Buckaroo Banzai is my favorite movie of all time because it is also the dumbest movie of all time. I love it so much. The cast, everything. I'm excited that Kevin Smith is in charge because I think he's like the perfect voice for this franchise.
I'm really excited about it on the podcast.
Me and Kay Smith should just be fat dudes with beards talking about Buckaroo Banzai.
American Gods in the news this week announced that Christian Chenoweth has been added to their already ridiculously amazing cast.
Love her.
And I wasn't sure at first when I heard the name Kristen Chenoweth. What is she going to do in this movie? And then they announced the role, and she's playing Easter.
Love her.
Which is the embodiment of the holiday Easter. Just point on casting this whole show.
Knocking it out of the park. Daredevil gets a season 3. Nothing else. We got a season 3 for a show that was supposed to have a season 1. It sure is having more seasons than that.
Luke Cage got its first full trailer. Not just the teaser from the end of Jessica Jones, but a full trailer featuring, as most Netflix Marvel shows need to have, by most, I mean all, a hallway fight.
And Old Dirty Bastard.
Requisite Hall. I mean, that just is setting up a beautiful tone.
Yeah.
There's a ton to talk about. There's too much to talk about with these trailers. And there's a billion trailers out of Comic-Con, and we may talk about them at a future time.
It's so good. Guardians of the Galaxy shows off trailer and footage at SDCC. I'm really excited about this movie. Guardians of the Galaxy is So exciting. Kurt Russell will be Ego the Living Planet, which is perfect casting.
Which I didn't have the photo today, but I tweeted it out yesterday with Marvel Movie News. I mocked up a photo of Kurt Russell as Ego.
That's really funny.
It's pretty ridiculous. But moving forward from that, Hulk was... Planet Hulk is now officially confirmed as being part of Thor Ragnarok, with Marvel on day three of the con showing off Hulk's gladiatorial armor.
It looks so cool.
There's an axe, there's a giant hammer. That's what the thing on the left side of that photo is. Yeah. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
This plus, like, if you saw the logo that they put out for Thor Ragnarok, it looks like an 80s hair metal band. It's insane.
Yeah.
This movie is going to be the weirdest Marvel movie to date.
I saw this before I read what it was, and I thought it was a confirmed Ares. And I was so excited, because that's basically what Ares has. A big axe, he has the Centurion helmet, and he has the shoulder pad. I thought it was Ares. I freaked out, and then I saw it was Hulk, and somehow this made me sad. This awesomeness made me sad,
because
it wasn't
music.
Ares. Yeah. Legion trailer debuts. Great.
Yeah, no, it looks cool. It's an interesting, darker tone than the other movies have given us. What else is going on? Divergent. The last film in the franchise was going to be Divergent Ascendant, but this week it came out that Lionsgate is going to move the series to television. It's going straight to TV. This came apparently as a big surprise to this film's star, Shailene Woodley, who was on an airplane when they announced it and landed and very confused.
Yeah, as you would be.
There's no details on what exactly this is going to be, if they have any of the cast locked in. It's partially due to the fact that the last movie was a financial flop.
Yep.
But the cast would seem to be a big part of that, of the cost being a problem, so they may be recasting. There's rumors of a spinoff series. A lot of questions up in the air for Divergent to finish out its tale.
Interesting. John Barrowman trying to bring Torchwood back. Let's go back to Wales. He said that he has a phone conversation on Monday to see if they can get back on television. I love it. I thought Torchwood was fantastic. I would watch more Torchwood.
Six seasons and a movie.
Six seasons and a movie.
Stranger Things made our dreams come true when they announced that the soundtrack is going to be put out. That is hot off the presses. They just tweeted it and posted on Facebook today. If you loved that 80s synth beauty of a score that the Netflix series got, they'll be putting it out. No date yet, but soon. We can only hope for a limited edition cassette tape release.
That would be awesome.
I would buy it. I still have a cassette player, you guys.
Yeah, my car is old enough. I have a cassette player.
At least vinyl. People still use those.
Yeah.
But I would buy either one.
Netflix confirms that Mystery Science Theater is coming in the not-too-distant future. That's their thing.
Yeah, 14 episodes. 14 episodes. They're going to do 14. I mean, if Netflix wants to do it, they have all the money in the world.
Yeah. Please just do it.
Brie Larson was officially confirmed this weekend as Captain Marvel. It almost feels like old news because it was broke like a month ago, but it's official, and now there are rumors about who's going to direct the feature. Rachel Talalay, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is rumored to be up for the job.
Yep.
She's, if you're not familiar with her, she directed Tank Girl and is also known for episodes of Sherlock and Doctor Who, specifically the Doctor Who episode Heaven Sent, which I was a fan of. I think that was a great episode. So I'm on board if this is true.
Yeah.
And this movie has to have a female director, so she's a good choice. Still waiting to see if that comes to be true.
Well.
And that's going to do it for Ludicrous Speed. Let's hit that emergency break, because there's some stuff that we've got to talk about a little bit more in length. First of all, Spider-Man.
Yeah, man.
Spider-Man.
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 Yeah.
All the footage, apparently, at Comic-Con was astounding. They've not released it to the public.
Yeah.
But a few things that did come out, they announced, like, who everyone's playing.
Yeah.
As part of what they showed. Zendaya is going to be playing a character named Michelle. That Liz Allen is confirmed
for
the
movie.
There's like some of the other roles, like there's all the rumors about Genki being in it from the Miles Morales story. Mm-hmm. Not true, to everyone's relief, because everyone thought they had cast like a white kid as Genki.
Yeah.
It's not that's not true, but they did confirm the villain for the film, or at least one of the villains, and they showed us some concept art, and I wanted to talk about this because it's really cool. If we bring up that photo, Vulture is going to be the villain of the film. Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
In the role, which is ridiculous.
So Michael Keaton's being a Birdman?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, it's ridiculous, like, in that, like, Michael Keaton is going to be in a Spider-Man movie, but then it's ridiculous again.
It's a double Birdman.
Birdman.
Yeah.
But what I find fascinating about this image is, if you look at it, the armor the wings appear to run on helicarrier tech.
It looks very similar, even though that the wings have that helicarrier tech, it looks to me very similar to like what the Falcon has.
See, I actually disagree. I think it looks wildly different from what Falcon uses.
Oh.
Because this looks much bigger. Like, this is like, this almost looks like a vehicle.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
He's riding around. Whereas Falcon is like a hang glider with booster jets.
Yeah.
This, like, I mean, you can see the metal claw on the bottom, like, it looks cool, like, it's well thought out as, like, a device, looks, like, if you're gonna be up in the air, you need to perch somewhere.
It looks...
And that would be a grasp.
Awesome. I love that it's gonna be a young kid just beating up an old guy. just a very exact metaphor of just children taking your childhood away from you as you get older.
Yeah. My brain just started going crazy on the tech side of this and what all that implies. Because if it is helicarrier tech, and it very much appears to be, because the circular clearly fan, like, rising it up, that would imply that Adrian Toomes is going to either be a former S.H.I.E.L.D. / Hydra. Probably S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Not Hydra, but... Or... could be Stark tech. Knowing that Stark is going to be in the film, if this is a disgruntled
ex-Stark
employee, that's why Tony gets involved again with Spider-Man and now feels responsible for one of his, basically what he would feel as part of his rogues gallery going after Peter Parker.
Yeah, or, I mean, a lot of times in Spider-Man storylines, Vulture, Scorpion, Rhino, some other guys that are leaving my brain right now, are all given their tech by, like, a mastermind. I forget his name as well, but, like, this mastermind guy, he's got, like, weird, like, growths on his shoulders. They're all given the tech that's either stolen or taken through a hybrid kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to see... It'd be interesting to see if, like, maybe it's a character that will be a villain in future films as well.
Yeah. Like,
because, Jesse.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, hello, computer.
Hello, Jesse.
Yeah.
The character in question is the Tinkerer.
The Tinkerer is one of them. That's actually not the one I was thinking of.
The Tinkerer is very heavily rumored to be in Homecoming.
Yeah. His name has, like, an H in it. I forget his name. He's a weird mutant-looking guy.
That word in reference to the MCU.
He's a weird, altered human looking guy. His son dies in one of the Spider-Man stories. Regardless, I'm sure the internet is screaming his name at me right now. I think it would be interesting if it was like a story where it was like a bigger villain, not just Adrian Toomes, but like someone who was working behind him providing tech. Because then that does, like, set up for Scorpion and Rhino and all of those guys as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff that is coming out around this, and I wish I'd been there to see the footage.
But, me too.
If you want to hear Matt Key's account of it, jump over to our another show on Popcorn Talk, Marvel Movie News. Yesterday he ran through all of that, all the Doctor Strange stuff. Everything out of Comic-Con was broken down for 2 hours on that show. It's insane. All right, let's keep on. I want to start our Star Trek conversation with Star Trek Discovery.
That's the name of the new show.
Which is, officially the name of the new show that's going to be on CBS All Access. Before we get started, I wanted to let's take a look together at the look at the video of the teaser. This is a true teaser, not like a minute long trailer. This is like a teaser because they haven't even started shooting yet.
Yeah, it's a GIF.
Oh, look at that
Earth nipple.
It's just an asteroid in space, and I'm already excited. But I love this. I like the idea of a base like carved into an asteroid.
That's cool.
You can see how old it is, and now we know what time we're in.
Yep. Some of the CG looks like it's from a cutscene in a video game from 2005.
No, I think it looks good.
It looks okay.
I mean, but the thing is, like, that's, like, it's just the blockiness of the design.
Yeah. Also some of the textures.
But I think they're doing a good, like, Star Trek Discovery. Even that, although I will say that this, that Star Trek logo reminds me of, like, the Star Trek computer games.
Yeah, for sure.
That were, like, on CD-ROM.
Yeah.
But this gets me excited.
Yeah.
Because it looks, there's a couple things we can pick out from that. Like, the fact that it's in an asteroid means that it's probably old enough that that was where, not, like, hiding it, but, like, they had to build a spaceport somewhere in space because they couldn't build it on Earth.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, like, in Star Trek Beyond, they have, like, the Franklin, mm-hmm. which no spoilers.
Not yet.
Just because we haven't hit the review yet. But the idea that, like, they mentioned at one point, like, an old ship can't necessarily take off from
atmosphere because it wasn't built for it.
Yeah, it's not designed for it because most ships wouldn't be.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it takes an insane amount of force to get to do that.
Yeah.
Some of the other news coming about this, Brian Fuller,
love Brian
running
Fuller.
The show, was talking about it at Comic-Con, and this I found fascinating. This show is going to be set in the Prime timeline, not the Kelvin timeline.
I think that's interesting.
It was interesting that he made the distinction, only because this seems like it's old enough that it would be before the incident with the Kelvin, right?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. When I was hearing about it, I thought it would be really interesting to explore what a TV series would be in the Kelvin timeline.
That's what I see.
Like, without Vulcan, with, you know, with, like, all of this information about, like, what Khan and his super soldier project was. Like,
yeah, I think there's a lot of room to make a show in this new, in the new version of the universe. Yeah. It was surprising that they would decide to make it the Prime timeline. They did say that they wanted to wait till 6 months after Beyond to avoid confusion with the two timelines.
Yeah.
But, like, it just, I get doing it in the past, but why not just say it's the same?
Calm down. You're angry? Right. Calm down.
Right. Sorry, I smacked my
if
computer.
If you're listening, Zach accidentally smacked his computer.
No, but it seems like an unnecessary distinction. It does, but the thing is, I don't think it would affect the show at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ultimately, unless they're worried about, like, messing with stuff that's going on, maybe it's just to free them up.
Yeah.
Because it is in the... I would think being in the past would make it even easier because you don't have to worry about interfering with what's going on the
bigger timeline. Yeah,
which
is
what happens on stuff like Marvel, when you have a TV show and a film, and they run concurrently in terms of timeline.
Yeah,
the TV show winds up limited by what the feature side is doing.
Yeah, for sure.
But it still seems like it seems cool. Like, Brian Fuller being in charge
is,
like,
great.
They haven't started casting yet, but he seems like he is doing all the right things.
Yeah.
When we finally get this in 6 months, I think it's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
It'll be weird like I'm very interested to see, like, because like we were talking about the ship design there,
mm-hmm.
and how it is,
it's very blocky.
It's blocky just because it was the design from the original movies and series. Like you have to go, just like with what you're seeing with like Star Wars, when you go backwards in time,
sure.
like with all the stuff we've seen on Rogue One, you have to go back to the what doesn't feel like now futuristic technology,
because yeah.
like now we think everything is smooth, like that's the future, as although, opposed to the blocky
although
future.
In space it doesn't matter if it's smooth or not, there's no yes. air resistance, so
it might, maybe it's a cube,
yeah, it could will. Be a cube,
a Borg cube
yeah. a bullion cube
Other stuff that Brian Fuller said, he said that casting is going to be he's colorblind casting.
Yeah, of course. Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, you could just say diverse casting. Like, you're going to make a diverse cast.
You could just say you're casting a Star Trek show. Like,
I always think about this. Like, what if, like, he's like, no, I was put on blinders and, like, colorblind casting, and then you accidentally cast, like, a whole bunch of white people. I was blind!
I couldn't see color.
No, but they're going to put a lot of effort into making it a diverse show.
Yeah.
There's so much Star Trek today, you guys. Like, I can scan myself. There's no batteries in this okay. thing. This toy is... I have a toy, like, scanner.
Yeah.
And it's so old. Like, the...
Tricorder.
The battery is, like, died in it and, like...
Rusted out.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm afraid of the batteries in
that
thing.
Yeah, please don't.
Anyway, but let's jump over to Star Trek Beyond. Let's put up a big old spoiler wall for anyone who hasn't seen the movie.
Guys, we're going to spoil it.
I want to break this movie down to the bare bones, and really I want to get into like what our thoughts were, and so spoilers ahead.
Spoiler alert.
There it is.
Spoiler alert.
All right. Jesse, what's your thoughts, like, just overall off the top?
It was okay.
Did you enjoy it though?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Nothing jumped out for me. Like, nothing really made me excited about it. Nothing really also made me not excited about it. I thought the coolest part was that space station. Like, I could have done an entire movie on that space station.
Or a TV series.
Or a TV series.
CBS.
On that space station. Not Deep Space Nine, but but, like, that space station was so cool. The technology involved was so cool. All of, like, the water just kind of there. Like, everything in, like, the skyscrapers going in all different directions. Like, all of that was awesome. I could have spent the entire movie there and would have been fine. I didn't need to go to a lost planet through a nebula to fight space bees.
But did you, like, here's my question, though.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time watching it?
Sure.
It's a litmus. I didn't.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you guys, I did not like this movie. And I say that as a big fan of, especially, like, I was
Simon Pegg, Star Trek.
Well, like, I like Star Trek in general,
yeah.
And I was a huge fan of the 2009 reboot.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie probably 20 times.
It's a great movie.
I can rewatch it again and again and again.
True.
And I did after I saw this movie, because a big part of it was, for me, I didn't connect emotionally to the movie throughout it. And so I thought maybe I just needed to trilogy it. And then I would go in with, like, that was the feeling they wanted. So I went back. I saw it over the weekend. Then I went back and I watched the original Star Trek. Or I watched 2009. I watched Star Trek Into Darkness. And then I went in and saw it again today, this morning. And I felt exactly the same way.
Same way. Where'd it lose you? This is our new segment, Where'd It Lose You?
it's more that it just never grabbed me.
Never got you.
It never had a hold of me. I liked the opening. It was cool. Like, I think that's a great way to kick off a Star Trek film.
Yeah, silly little...
It felt very Star Trek-y.
Yeah.
Like, Kirk going in and trying to, like, moderate a peace agreement between two species.
With a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a minor description written on giant letters.
MacGuffin.
On it. It was the really just like the plot didn't grab me.
Yeah.
We had this whole thing with Crawl, this evil guy, and I get that they were holding off on the reveal,
because
his whole thing was he was a human.
Yes.
And he was. Spoilers. He was a member of the Federation in its early days, but his goal was to destroy the Federation as somebody who was part of the military, and I just that came far too late.
Yeah.
Here's the thing for me is that his motivation was revealed so late in the game that I never really feared him or, well, I guess I there was like a little, like he was obviously destroying and killing a lot of people.
Yeah.
Never any of our people, mind you.
No.
Just the random crew members. Move
that away from me. Yeah, they get like 40 members that survived the destruction of the Enterprise, and no one's like, what about the hundreds of others that died?
Kirk, to Chris Pine's credit, he does seem upset about that, but
it's never
fully expressed.
Yeah,
my whole thing is that I never felt like there was any real danger in the beginning of the film, like especially even during that big space battle where they first get attacked and the Enterprise is going down. Even as much as like, oh, it's like, oh no, the Enterprise is going down. But I never felt like any of my characters, like, I didn't feel like, even down to Sulu or Uhura, or, and this hurts to say, but you, like, Chekhov, like, yeah, if any of them had died, like, some, or, like, been very close to it, where I legitimately believe that they might kill them, I would have probably been a lot more invested and being fearful as all of this is going down, but I never doubted for a moment that the main characters of the film were going to make it through.
Well, I think a bit of it is storytelling, where if you show that your main two characters are also not invested, where Spock and Kirk are planning on leaving, that makes it hard for an audience to also invest if their ciphers, if the way you get into the movie, these two characters are the ones that you connect with, and if you show them not wanting to be where they're at and planning on leaving, it makes it hard to get into that story because the people who represent you also don't want to be in that story.
Yeah, by the way, guys, those of you who are joining us live, and thank you for doing it, I want to know what you guys think
as we go
through this, especially if you like the movie. I want to know why you liked it, because here's the thing, I want to like this movie.
Yeah.
I saw it again because I wanted to go in and rediscover it and hopefully come out the other side being like, oh, you know what? I found stuff I really loved. I just didn't connect to it. So let us know if you're not live this week, 3 p.m. every Wednesday, Pacific Standard Time.
Here's what I did like. I liked, what was her name? Jalea. Yeah. I liked her. I thought she was very interesting. I thought it was a good addition to the cast. I thought she was a good foil for the Enterprise people. I liked that she called the Franklin her house, no matter what. Like, they were in space.
And yeah.
She was my house is falling apart.
I was annoyed by the way she was written at times.
Yeah.
Because they almost played her dumb. Like, I get that she's been alone for a long time, but they had this dichotomy of her being incredibly smart and gifted as an engineer and a fighter.
Yeah.
But then, or maybe it wasn't that they were playing her dumb, but, like, the whole thing where she was calling them, like, Montgomery Scotty and James T, like, throughout, like, that's a cute joke.
Yeah, I thought that was fine.
Drop it. Like, it got to a point where I found it annoying, because, like, Kirk would have corrected her. It's like, even just jokingly, like, Kirk's character, that character would have been like, just Kirk or just Jim. Like, he would have been like, you don't need to say James T every time.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
For some reason, it was really like a little thing. It was little. It's like, it, again, it's the kind of thing where if the rest of the movie had been good around it, I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, but because it was failing all
fronts. And it was coupled with the fact that Scotty kept calling her Lassie.
Yeah.
Which, like, I know that, like, Scotty calls people Lassie.
Yeah.
But he did it so much, it started to feel like, roughly, like, he was putting her down. Because, like, Lassie is, like, calling her a child.
I mean, it's just what Scottish people call women.
Yeah. Like, sort of like
you, like I've heard Scottish people refer to grown women as lass many times.
Yeah, that doesn't make it.
No, I think it makes it fine. Like, it's just, it's like saying, like, listen here, lady.
Yeah, it was also, but again, just the repetitiveness of it. Yeah. Like, we get it. The character said this in the original.
It's like short round saying lady over and over again.
It's just like you're using it too much.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked all the planet. I could have seen, like, I liked that it was a planet of deserted kind of people. Like, we saw Scott interact with other scavengers at first when she came and saved them. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that there's this, like, refugee culture.
Yeah.
Built up.
I thought that was really cool. I don't, like, again, I completely agree with you. The character motivation and origin and all of that came basically at the end of the third act, which makes it really hard. Like, we learned that.
That was the thing, is it, like, look, just for ease of, for the ease of it, let's compare it to the 2009 one.
Sure.
With Nero.
Mm-hmm.
That movie kicks off with his Nero appearing and destroying the Kelvin.
Yeah.
And as he does it, we don't get the whole picture, but we know he has a problem with Spock.
Yeah.
And we know he is displaced out of time.
Yeah.
So already we know that this is somebody who is chasing down a person. So we have a concrete mission. Even if we don't know why, we have the concrete mission of what he is doing at the very least.
Yeah.
Couple that with, he's lost, so that just gives him reason to be acting erratically.
Yeah.
Those two things make us like, okay, this is a person, like, if I was lost in time, I might be scared and violent.
Sure.
We don't, not to this extent, not for those reasons, but
you,
like,
want to destroy Vulcan, but you'd be scared and violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, we get that. At least.
Yeah.
What I wanted out of Crawl was just, like, a hint of, like, he just keeps hinting that, like, we get those drops of, like, he wants to save you from yourselves.
That doesn't mean anything. I mean, what it was, was that he had spent years fighting Romulans, Vulcans, you know, I don't know if Klingons are in the Federation yet in this timeline.
They're not in the, well, no, they're enemies.
They're enemies still, in this timeline. So
Into Darkness went into that where they were going. Klingon space was dividing line.
Yeah, but
They did clear up that the Romulan wars, just like in the prime timeline, still happened as they happened.
So he's basically the enemy in. He's basically Colonel Kurtz. Like, he's a soldier who all he knows is being a soldier, and he's gone.
Was the plot line of Into Darkness.
Yes, yeah, it's basically the same plot line of Into Darkness.
It's a little different because Into Darkness was a military man wanting the Federation to be more militaristic.
Yeah.
In order to defend the planet, which, like, that's a storyline, like, I get.
Yeah.
And I can get behind because I understand it. But this one was a military guy doesn't like the peacekeeping group and wants to always be at war.
Yeah, wants to go back to military, which is an old story, and it's easily told, just not this way. I think it was poorly handled. I liked the Idris Elba reveal. I thought that was cool.
See, this is another problem that I have with it. It's like, I figured that out so early.
Oh, yeah. It's his voice.
Not that it was. Well, we knew it was Idris Elba playing Crawl.
Yeah.
From that was announced.
Yeah.
But, like, I knew that he was going to be human so early. And, like, for me, the instant that Uhura asked him, how do you know our language? It was done. Like, I was, maybe it wasn't 100, I wasn't 100% sure, but I was at 80% at the, in, like, right away, I was like, oh, so he's probably human.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there was that entire thing where, I forget her name, the double agent that gets placed on the Enterprise. When they first see her, she looks like whatever Idris Elba's species splicing thing is. Like she looks.
Oh, you think so?
Oh,
like she was a female version?
They do like a distortion thing where at first she looks like that, then she looks kind of human, then she kind of looks like whatever this thing with the folded big ears.
Well, I actually thought that that was a big flaw that they had, was that I don't think that there was an intention for her to, like, be looking like certain things, but the design of whatever, I don't even know what that character's name is, but
yeah,
like her and Ensign, I had it written down, Ensign Syl.
Oh, the one with the head crab?
Was the one with the flaps, yeah.
Very
so similar.
Similar
that, yeah, only, like, a couple times I had to stop and be like, which one is it?
Yeah, same here.
They were both cool designs, but just too similar to have as central characters.
Yeah. Well, they show that distortion on Krull as well, where he, like, flashes around and, like, you see a human for a second. And it kind of gives the game away. He's basically been feeding, like, the explanation of they had, like, a hive slave race that existed on this planet when they crashed. And that's his army, is this, like, slave race of a hive mind kind of thing, and he uses their technology to stay alive for hundreds of years. That all gets explained maybe with 20 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah.
And
like, I understood I understood what was happening again, like when he absorbed, like, from the crewmates and, like, his face started to warp. It's like, okay, I get it. Like, this is clearing up now the mechanisms of this.
Yeah. He looked more human the more he absorbed humans.
Yeah. There was stuff like that. As we got, like, deeper into film, what you were saying, like, with the spaceport.
Yeah.
Yorktown.
Yeah, Yorktown was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I, like, wet myself.
Yeah.
When they just did the first time they did, like, the fly through, and, like, it looked like, oh, that's an interesting, like, spaceport. I can see all, like, the living quarters on those, like, little things. And
yeah,
then they get closer and it's like, oh my God, those are just city blocks.
Yeah. Those are skyscrapers.
I will say though, when you think about, like, the star date is 2263.
Uh-huh.
Point two. Mm-hmm. I made a note of it the second time through.
Yeah.
That's, what, 250 years from now, right?
Yeah.
The star date is lined up with our time. That's a lot to build if they started now.
Sure.
Even with technology that could do it.
Well, scientists always say that the way our technology is growing is exponential and exponentially fast. That the more technology becomes advanced, the faster it is to create and build technology.
And I guess that, like, so, there's lots of alien races with their own technology. It was more of the speed of it, not the capabilities. But,
well,
like,
well,
but
the speed of it.
I'm impressed, Federation. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
For me, is, well, and because it's the Kelvin timeline, I wonder how much Spock has meddled with time. Old Spock, who died, by the way. They had to, because.
And you know what? I appreciated that they acknowledged it. It makes it more unfortunate that they had him involved in the second one,
because
it would have been more impactful if he had been out of Spock's life that whole time.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated by his involvement in Into Darkness, because they literally in the first movie said, "I can never tell you anything about your future." And then the next time they talk to each other, here's exactly what you need to know about your future.
Well, I mean that's a Back to the Future as well.
Yeah, but because I love Star Trek, I hold it to a high standard. That's part of why I want to be clear. Like, that's part of why I'm being hard on it, is that I hold, like, any new one of these new Star Trek productions to a very high standard, because they first of all have to live up to the name Star Trek, but yeah. also to the success of the 2009 movie, which yeah. which was just, it was perfect beginning to end, it, for me at least, and they're not living up to the potential that they started.
Yeah. Can we talk about the beginning of the third act, where we find out that the way we can disrupt these space bees is by using a radio wave disruptor sequence.
I actually like this.
I thought
for
it
the
was.
Most part.
I thought it was schlock the purest way, and schlock can be good. It was the most pure schlock moment I've seen in a big blockbuster film ever.
Here's the things that I'll say about this. By and large, I liked what they were like. I liked the idea of disrupting a swarm, because there's science to it. There's
yes.
Hive mind would have to connect in some with some sort of frequency, yeah. disrupting that frequency. I can even get behind the idea of the song being
the
part
Beastie
of it.
Boys.
But they made a bad choice when they did it, because I love, I even like the idea of it being sabotage.
Yeah,
because
sure.
it's a great, in theory, it's a great bookend mm-hmm. to the first movie, and this is a trilogy, and I don't yeah. think they knew that they were going to make a fourth one at the time. So even if this had been the last mm-hmm. one, it would have been a nice, way to, yeah. to do the series. But by making it J-Law's choice for the song,
yeah.
you removed the poetry of the moment and made it just chance. She just happened to pick that song. She might have well picked N.W.A.
Which
instead.
Which she was listening to.
It was irrelevant. If Kirk had been the one, he had to pick up the iPod or whatever and go which song should... Oh, this one.
Yeah.
Boom. That would have been a poetic moment. It was just like... she happened to pick the song that lined up for the writers.
Yeah.
It was too convenient for the reality of this world.
For sure.
So it took what and I love the visual of sabotage. It's super silly. And
it's schlocky.
It exactly.
Franklin surfs a wave of drone bots. Literally surfs a wave of drone bots. Not figuratively. They make a space wave. And the Franklin surfs across it as the wave is breaking and leaves fire behind it as the drone bots explode.
Yes. But
it's the most schlocky thing. It's a fantastic schlock, but it is extremely schlocky.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, I'm okay with silliness, but this is exactly the note that I think Orci probably left over. Because if you remember, about a year ago, or however long ago it was, when Roberto Orci left, he was directing this movie, and he left amidst the rumors that Paramount was saying this needs to be more Guardians of the Galaxy-esque.
Yep.
There is your Guardians moment.
That's...
The rest of it was actually, I think, to this movie's credit, more Star Trek... More felt a lot like more Star Trek than it ever has.
Exploring new planets, diplomacy, rescue mission.
But the problem was, as Kirk put it at one point in the movie, it started to feel a little episodic.
Yeah, for sure.
That I actually loved that line.
It was a great line.
My life started to feel episodic.
Yeah.
But this movie felt episodic, and it shouldn't be. If it's a TV show, that's great, and I get that that was what the original series was, but a feature needs to be a movie. It needs to be one big event in these people's lives and not just a smaller chapter. And as big as, the attack was and all that, it didn't feel like... it didn't feel like this needed to be a movie.
It didn't feel like a release. That didn't feel like a tension release at all. As soon as you see the Franklin surfing a wave of drone bots, you don't feel like a great, satisfying, win in that case. It didn't feel great. And when he was fighting in the gravity chamber, or as I like to call it, the Willy Wonka room. I was like, just burp. You'll go down.
just burp.
There didn't seem to be any satisfying release to it. And even when Idris Elba gets sucked out of the airlock, I was like, oh, that can't be the end of that, because it doesn't feel like it's the end of it. And it was. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And that Deus Ex Machina is just out in space now. The MacGuffin just...
Well, I have to assume that they went out there. It's not far from the space station. Sure. They'd track it down and blow it up.
Yeah.
But again, they're not going to do that thing of, like, we're going to hide it in four corners of the universe.
Yeah, just destroy whatever that thing is.
They're smart enough to destroy it. Real quick, just because we're running very low on time, what did you think of the whole... because this is really the only big plot line that we didn't touch on. Kirk and the potential of leaving to be Vice Admiral, and Spock potentially leaving to go replace his older self.
I thought the Spock thing was really interesting. I like that they deal with the ramifications of the fact that Vulcan doesn't exist anymore, and that Spock is now part of an endangered species, and that he would feel like he kind of owes it to his people that he needs to start making little Vulcans and keeping his species alive.
Yeah.
I thought that was fine. I did not like that there was supposed to be tension with him and Uhura. I never felt it once.
Yeah. I'll use this as sort of my final thoughts as well. Like, I think that this was a part of the movie that needed to be expanded.
Yeah.
I felt like this movie was so much action and so much just like push forward, push forward, push forward, push forward. It needed, I think there was 20 minutes that they cut out of this movie. 20 minutes that makes this from like a movie I really didn't like to a movie that I would genuinely enjoy.
Yeah.
Because villain aside, because I don't know how if you can fix that with any added stuff, I think that if this movie had taken the time to slow down at a couple points, like I wanted to feel the Enterprise crew truly be abandoned.
Yeah.
After they crashed. I wanted to feel them be alone before they found other people. And I get that they were off in pairs of two, and that is fine, but I wanted them to feel truly desperate and, like, having to, like, make a fire because they can't find anyone. It was too easy for them to find other people.
Yeah.
And I think if you had had those moments left in there and used those moments to get into Kirk's head a little bit more about why he was leaving...
Yeah.
Use those moments where all is lost, like, because all is supposed to be lost.
Yeah.
And then we never really had the ship going down never felt like the all is lost moment.
Well, to make your point, how long do you think they were on that planet?
A day?
It felt like a day. I think it was supposed to be days, like maybe weeks that they were on that planet.
I think it was one night and one day.
One night and one day.
We only saw the night after they crashed.
Because that's when they get the disc.
And then the next day is when they took off.
Yeah.
They got off there very easily. Like, it should have been a trial.
Yeah.
It should have been very, very difficult.
I agree.
And that, for me, is, like, really the biggest thing that it fails. It just didn't have any time for me to get emotionally invested in this story and our character, the characters who I'm already emotionally invested in, like, from previous movies. You don't have to do a lot of lifting.
Yeah.
But it was those little... I needed those little bits where we really got into the point in these characters' lives.
Yeah. For me, it's still worth it to see that awesome space station. It's still worth it to kind of explore that planet. I wish they'd spent more time on it. And the schlock at the end is perfect to me. I'll watch a spaceship ride a wave of drones with fire and sabotage playing in the background.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't address Meal and Tickled Lady and Retroactive are discussing it in the chat role. We didn't discuss, so we'll just real quick mention Sulu and his husband.
Oh yeah.
I thought this was perfectly because it was never called they showed it.
Yeah.
But it was just showing that he had a family. It was not about him being gay. Like, it was the whole thing we talked about with George Takei, and he didn't feel that it was necessary. This felt perfect because they didn't call attention to the fact that he was gay, just that he had a family.
Yeah, it felt like a moment in any other film where it would have just been, like, a guy going and, like, getting a big hug from his wife and, like, his little kid.
Yeah.
And it made me afraid. It was handled the exact same way.
Yeah, and it made me afraid for Sulu when the station was under attack. It's like, oh, my first thought was, oh no, yeah. Sulu's family.
Yeah.
Because that's here. The only person I care about on that entire space station.
Is a little girl.
But yeah, so as we close out, blending off of this, and we'll just forget the cue for this week in the interest of time.
Yeah.
Mission assignment from last week.
Mission, sir.
Secret mission.
It's coming in anyway.
Computer's gone rogue.
On your most important mission.
Computer, are you still on our side? We're afraid.
I'm on no side.
Okay.
All right. The computer is going to kill us in the third act.
Mission assignment from last week.
Start queuing up Sabotage. Mission assignment from last week was favorite Star Trek film of all time. Chill Cat, you're the man.
Chill Cat's awesome.
Thank you for always writing in because that was the only one we got this week.
Yeah.
But Chill Cat said Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan.
The original.
Yeah, the original Wrath of Khan.
Not Into Darkness. Yeah. Wrath of Khan. So, Jesse, what do you think?
Mine's First Contact.
All right. Dark Horse.
Just because it's the one I have, like, the most emotional connection. I believe my dad and I watched First Contact, like, 10 times when I was a kid. and you know, like, the captain I grew up with was Picard, so gotta be a Picard movie.
All right.
So First Contact it is.
For me, it's this should come as no surprise if you listen to the rest of this podcast.
Yeah.
The 2009 Star Trek with Star Trek the Motion Picture a very close second.
Okay.
The original. The original one. I know that a lot of people don't like it. I've never understood. I love the whole thing about V'ger.
It's very hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
It is the most hard sci-fi out of all of them.
Yeah. It's almost just like a sci-fi story that Star Trek characters fell into.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a different thing. That's why a lot of Trek fans are more like lukewarm on it.
Yeah.
But I love the concepts at play.
It's
in
fantastic.
That movie.
Yeah.
But the 2009 one, I can just watch it's just so watchable and enjoyable. And it's just a blast.
Borgar, my favorite villain. First Contact.
No favorite villains. We gotta save that for the next time we're talking about Star Trek. So for next week, we're still figuring out. We were so excited about all the San Diego news. We're still figuring out exactly what next week is gonna be. It may be about trailers.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them to talk about. We may do a classic. We're gonna announce it on Twitter exactly what we're gonna do. But stay tuned for mission assignment for next week. Why don't we do sci-fi origins?
Ooh.
I want to know what the sci-fi movie is that made you guys fall in love with science fiction.
Sci-fi movie, TV show, book, comic book.
Because it might be a book. What was the property that made you go, I am a science fiction fan?
Yeah.
What is that thing? I don't even know. I have to think about it.
I know what it is immediately, and it is disturbing.
There's a couple. I mean, there's some. I think I'm holding a Simpsons toy of like Kang and or Kodos, and like for me, it's like aliens were always my not aliens specifically, but like we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
So bring yours to the party. Make sure you're leaving us a review on iTunes or on YouTube. If you want to get in on the fun, like put your comment in the below
YouTube. Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube right there, hit the thumbs up button. We want to know what you thought of Star Trek Beyond.
Please do.
I really do want to find the things to love in this movie because there are some fun moments and there's good stuff in there. But like for me, it just didn't do it. But I want to know what you think. Let us know. We'll hit you back with a discussion because we want to keep the dialogue going with you guys each and every week. We're on Sci-Fi Weekly. So until then, Jesse Klein, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. I just released a new video with my sketch team Haymaker. It's called HBO T-Shirts. Go and check that out.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And we'll see you here next Wednesday, 3 p.m. on Sci-Fi Weekly.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.